5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, the time when station WKZO welcomes to Kalamazoo distinguished visitors and newcomers to the community. We welcome today Mr. Gustav Utke, president of the Midwest Humane Conference. Mr. Utke will address a conference of Humane Society officials meeting in Kalamazoo this evening. Mr. Utke is interviewed by the Director of Public Affairs for WKZO, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Welcome to Kalamazoo, Mr. Utke. How many do you expect here for your conference?
Well, we hope that we will have about 75 or 80 present for the conference.
How many states does that represent?
That represents 9 states in the Middle West.
Well, now, tell us a little about the societies that belong to this Midwest region, Mr. Utke. What are their activities?
Well, of course, all humane societies are organized for the purpose of prevention of cruelty to animals. Originally, most of the societies were dual societies, being prevention of cruelty to children as well as animals. Many of these have dropped the prevention of cruelty because of the fact that today we have many child welfare agencies, and now primarily they are animal welfare organizations.
Now, I suppose that they operate on the basis of state laws. There are state laws against cruelty to animals, aren't there?
Yes, that's right.
Are these state laws in these 9 states that you cover somewhat uniform?
Yes, they're very uniform. The original law, the basic law, was introduced in New York in 1864 by Henry Berg, who was the founder of the humane movement in the United States, and all of the other state laws have been patterned after this particular law.
Well, about how long, Mr. Utke, have the people of our country been concerned about cruelty to animals?
Since about 1862.
Oh, yes. And now I presume that the movement is rather widespread.
Yes, we have over 600 societies in the United States.
Are there any in foreign countries?
Yes, England has had the Royal SPCA since 1822.
Most of the work in the humane societies is done by voluntary workers, I presume, or a great deal of it.
That's right. Usually the board members and the officers of the societies donate their time. They receive no compensation for what they do.
The humane societies are private organizations then, aren't they?
That's right.
Now, do they have government tie-ups with the cities and counties and so on in some cases?
Yes, occasionally they do. There are some societies that have pound contracts with the city government or the county government and take care of enforcing the dog laws that they have in that particular community.
Well, now, why do people become interested in humane work, Mr. Utke? What's the thing that interests them in it?
Well, I think that most people have an interest in an animal. I always feel that the first thing that a child becomes interested in is an animal. And even though they may not be too interested in humane work, when they see cruelty to an animal, why, they like to know that they have an organization in their community that will take care of stopping the cruelty that is taking place.
Well, now, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your work in Milwaukee. I believe you are from Milwaukee, Mr.
Utke.
Right. We've heard a good deal about your animal lending library. Would you mind saying a word or two about that for our listeners?
Well, we started an animal lending library about 3 years ago. We have about 125 different, not different animals, but animals in what we call a pet zoo in our lecture hall in Milwaukee. And a number of years ago, a teacher came in a week before Easter and wanted to know whether she could borrow a rabbit. And this gave me the idea that we might take our animals in our pet zoo and start a live animal lending library. We had cages built of various sizes, and today the teacher can come in and get one of these animals. We furnish the cage. We furnish a history of the animal as well as feeding instructions, and they keep the animal for 2 weeks, the same as she would go to a library and get a book out of the library. And if at that time there's no demand for the animal, they can renew it for another week.
During the 2 week period or the 3 week period then, I presume that the children learn the character and the activity of this animal and how to treat it and feed it and so forth.
That's right.
Well, that's a very interesting project. Are your organizations concerned rather generally with an educational program?
Yes, I think that most of our organizations today do have some kind of an educational program. Some of the smaller societies are not financially able to as yet have a very elaborate program, but I believe that most of them are very much interested in education.
Now, that's education of people to prevent them from being cruel to animals?
That's right. We feel that, of course, the adults, it's almost too late to do much with them in the way of education, but we feel that by getting into the schools and teaching the children the proper way of handling animals and giving them an animal occasionally that they can handle in the schoolroom under the supervision of the teacher, that we are going to prevent a lot of this cruelty in later years. We believe that enforcement of cruelty laws will be necessary probably as long as there are people and as long as there are animals. But we do feel that through an educational program, a great deal of this cruelty will be eliminated in future generations.
Well, now, specifically about this educational program, Mr. Utke, just how do you go about it? Do you teach the children how to feed the animals and care for them, or just what is your approach?
Well, some of our societies, especially the larger societies, have full-time educational directors who are usually qualified to teach in the public schools, and they send out bulletins at the beginning of each school year stating what their programs are for that year, and the teacher or the principal of the school can call in and book programs. And I know that there are quite a number of societies that have their educational director kept busy from morning till night every day during the school year.
Well, do you tell the children that they shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that to animals?
I don't believe that that is the general policy. At least I know in Milwaukee it is, and when we set up our program, we felt that by going in and telling children that they shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that, that we were encouraging the child to become curious, which is natural with a child, and perhaps they would be trying to do the things that we told them not to do. So we set up our program on the basis of we'll teach the do's and the don'ts should take care of themselves. And we have been fairly successful with that type of program.
By the do's, you mean?
What the animal does for the child and what the child can do for the animal.
Well, that's very interesting. About our own Kalamazoo animal shelter here. Have you had a chance to visit that?
Yes, I was out there yesterday afternoon, and I think Kalamazoo is to be congratulated. They certainly have an excellent shelter out there, and I believe that as time goes on, they're planning on adding on to this shelter, and certainly it seems to me as though one of these days they will have one of the outstanding shelters in the country.
We hope so. Mr. Utke, how about pets? Are people keeping more pets than they used to, or less, or is it remaining about the same?
I think that there are more pets today than there were years ago.
Is that so?
Yes.
People are becoming more interested in pets. So what kind particularly? Cats, dogs?
Well, I think the dogs primarily. Then, of course, there are cats and there are hamsters and guinea pigs and rabbits and turtle doves and white mice, white rats, hooded rats. So we could go along and name quite a few of them.
Yeah, there's a wide range of them.
That's right.
And the Humane Society is interested in all these kinds of animals.
That's right, and we are also interested in wildlife. Even where cruelty is concerned, we're interested in any type of animal. It doesn't make any difference what it is. It isn't only pets.
Well, now, in reference to the kinds of dogs, the kind of dogs and cats that you get in the animal shelters in the average city, are they sort of mongrels as a rule?
Yes, usually, although we do get some of the better breeds occasionally. If they break loose and get away and are picked up, why, we do get some very good ones in our shelters.
Does a thoroughbred dog or a cat, if there is such a thing as a thoroughbred cat, make a better pet than a mongrel?
No, I think on the contrary. I think that especially for children, that a so-called mongrel dog makes a much better pet.
Why?
They don't seem to be as high-strung. Usually your thoroughbred dogs or your pedigree dogs are very high-strung and nervous, and very often, even though they may be a good pet most of the time, just the wrong move and the dog may turn around and bite.
Well, that's very interesting. So perhaps if we get just a plain old yaller dog, then he's a better pet than a thoroughbred.
I think so. I certainly feel that way myself.
Well, now, a little about your program at your conference. I suppose you're going to talk about how to finance humane societies and how to organize them and so forth?
Yes, we have seven speakers scheduled for tomorrow morning on on various subjects pertinent to humane work. And tomorrow afternoon we're having an ABC session where the delegates will be permitted to ask questions from the floor, and it'll be more or less a wide open session.
Are there humane societies in smaller towns and villages as well as in larger cities?
Oh yes, we have humane societies in communities as small as 200 or 300 population.
And ranging up to cities the size of Milwaukee and
That's
Chicago.
Right.
Well, what's the nature of your work, Mr. Rutke?
I'm Executive Vice President of the Wisconsin Humane Society in Milwaukee.
And President of the Midwest Conference,
That's
I believe.
Right.
Do you get around to the various states quite a little bit and observe the work of the Humane Societies?
Yes, I do. Not necessarily on Humane Society work, but I do considerable traveling for another organization, and whenever I get into a community where I know there's a Humane Society, I usually try to look them up and see just what they're doing, and also the type of shelter they have and so forth.
Have you been in Humane Society work all your life?
No, I've only been in Humane Society work for about 10 years, but only 4 years of that has been actively in the work. Before that, I was just a member of the board.
And what attracted you to Humane Society work?
Well, it was more or less a hobby with me. I've always liked animals ever since I was a child, and so I decided that it was a hobby with me, and it might make a pretty good job for me.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Utke, for coming up to our studio and telling our audience about the conference which you're planning to have here in Kalamazoo, and a little bit about the pets and the people who keep the pets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar.
You've been listening to another broadcast of Welcome to Kalamazoo, a program in which we bring to our microphone each Friday afternoon distinguished visitors and newcomers to the community. Our guest on today's program was Mr. Gustav Yutke, president of the Midwest Humane Conference. Next Friday, we will welcome another distinguished visitor. This has been another program presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company. This is WKZO with studios in Radio City, Kalamazoo.
Now is the hour at miracle power.
Now is the hour at miracle power.
Smoother running, faster, stronger.